And appreciate you being here, my friends, to give all the honor, glory, and praise to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is a privilege that we get to worship Him. We don't have to go to church. We get to go to church. And so what a joy to be in the house of the Lord, my friends. I hope this morning's message can encourage us, challenge us, stir our hearts. The title of this morning's message, The Most Important Thing We Can Say to God. The most important thing, just the one thing that we can say to God, it's a sermon on our relationship with Almighty God, God's sovereignty, but also our free will and how we can please God. And when it comes to pleasing God, we don't have to overthink it. You know, trust that we are here. We desire to be here. We desire to please God. Amen. I pray that you'll be with me. We want to please God. I want to please Him. I want to do something that makes Him happy. And don't overthink it. Because when the most important thing for us to say to God, here it is. Yes. Yes. Really? Is it that simple? Yes, it is. It's so simple, yet it's so profound, yet it is absolutely necessary because you and I, my friends, we cannot please God in our flesh. God has already told us how to please Him. We just need to say yes. The Holy Spirit convicts us. He guides us. He leads us. We just need to say yes. Now, this is not a new thing. We're going to look at the scriptures today. Now, it compasses truly our entire Christian life from the time that we get saved, even while we are yet lost, to get saved, to when we finally give up the ghost, graduate to glory, and meet God. And so, Romans chapter 3, we'll turn there. We'll start here. Romans chapter 3, starting in verse 10 and verse 11. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. These verses, you know, kind of really set the stage by kind of revealing how we are in and of ourselves. And by the way, a little disclaimer here. This message is, of course, to give all glory to God, not to man. Never to man, always to God. But may it not be misinterpreted. May we not misinterpret or take out of context of Scripture to say that we have no choice in getting saved or serving God. On the contrary, God has sovereignly given us the free will. But He wants us to say yes. So let's go to Romans chapter 3, and we'll start there. This kind of sets the stage again for all of it. Romans chapter 3, let's go to verse 10 and 11. The Word of God says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a joy to be in Thy house this morning. And Father, we just thank You so much for that tremendous love that You've given to us through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. As we survey or as we consider or think about the cross, Lord, what a testament. It shows the worst of man and You at Your best, Father, as You gave Your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, and He suffered horribly for us to redeem us from our own sin. That He sought us when there is none of us that seek after You. I thank You, Father, that You save us, You draw us, You call us, and Father, that we give You all praise and all glory. Help us, Lord, to be sensitive to the conviction, the reproving of the Holy Ghost, that we would choose to yield, choose to say yes. Yes, Lord Jesus, to Your will and to Your way. Yes, in everything that You ask us to do, Father. We thank You, Father, for Your precious word. Help us to live by it. Help us to proclaim it. And by Your will and grace, even suffer for it. Thank You for this time, Father. Anoint these lips of clay that I would speak what You would have me to say, Father. If there's any wayward soul who's not saved, Father, we know that it's Your desire that they get saved. Father, we pray that today they would choose to trust, submit, and believe in Jesus Christ alone as Your personal Lord and Savior to be saved. They have to believe. And so, Father, we thank You so much for Your mercy and goodness. Bless now the time, the preaching of Thy holy word. In Jesus' name, all of God's people said, amen. Praise the Lord. Of course, it starts with how we get saved. And God doesn't change, by the way, before we are saved with how we are how He is after we are saved. You know, we are all lost sinners. We're all condemned. We're all unrighteous. The scripture is very plain on that. It is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. I'm not righteous. You're not righteous. None of us are righteous. Only Jesus Christ is righteous, who came to save us from our sins. None of us Scripture says in verse 11, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. And none means none. Okay, the idea is none of us on our own seek after God. Getting saved is not man's idea. You and I pray and hope that we're all saved today. This is not our idea, it's God's idea. It wasn't our plan, it's God's plan. Let's turn real quick to Ephesians chapter 1, some supporting verses for us, and then we'll go to John. But let's go to Ephesians in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 1, and then verse 11, just real quick here, I want us to see this. Praise God for the God that we serve. Praise God for His goodness. This is, it's all God. God, 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 it's all God. All we have to do is say yes, okay, that's the punchline, okay, but it's all God, okay. So Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, in whom, speaking about Jesus Christ, okay, how we get saved is through Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. And so, yes, we are all who are saved is only through Jesus Christ, but we're not just saved and forgiven, but we are also, we're going to read the rest of it here, but we are also predestinated to obtain a guaranteed inheritance. Okay, so read this with me. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of whose will? His own will. And so God's plan was to always save us through Jesus Christ. We didn't come up with that. We didn't say, you know, Lord, I feel bad that we sin. You know, I feel bad that Adam and Eve, you know, sinned in the Garden of Eden. Now we're separated from you. Can you, I don't know, send your son to save? No, it wasn't man's plan. Okay? And then even after God purpose to do that, it wasn't our idea to say, you know, now that we're saved, you know, can I push the envelope a little bit more? I mean, that's good, but what about if I split some inheritance? Would that be kind of nice? You know, that wasn't our plan. It was all God's plan, His own counsel, His own will, His own choosing. We are lost sheep who have gone and wandered astray, and we don't seek God. There is none that seeketh after God, but I'm so thankful that the Lord, as our great shepherd, sought us out. Jesus gives the parable of the great shepherd that left the 99. He goes and seeks the one lost sheep. That's for all of us, of course. And so now, since we don't seek God, and He seeks us, how does He seek us? You know, it's not literally, I mean, it is literal, but it's not physical. But it's through the drawing of His Holy Spirit, because God still seeks the lost today. It's through the drawing of His Holy Spirit. Now let's go to John chapter 6. So armed with this thought, it's all God's plan, all God's glory, all God's purpose, all God's will. Let's go to John chapter 6. And in fact, the Lord would not give me peace from this, you know, as far as to preach this. We did this some weeks ago, I think, with one of the weekly Bible studies I do. And it kind of really resonated so much with me. I just wanted to, I felt compelled to kind of share this. But John chapter 6, let's go to, and this is one of the longest chapters in the New Testament here. But it's also a very sad chapter. It starts off with the multiplying of the five loaves and two fishes. But it ends with people rejecting Jesus. Okay, that's just so sad. But let's go to verse 44. John chapter 6, verse 44. Jesus says this, okay, and he's preaching to the people that at this point they're kind of waffling on the fence here. And then, of course, sadly, they turn away from him. But let's go to verse 44. Jesus says, and he's saying it to them. But when he says no man, he's speaking of every human being, right? And so all of us. And so no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And I will raise him up. That's if you come to Jesus by faith. Will raise him up at the last day. Praise God, the resurrection, the first resurrection. Don't want to be part of the second. That's at the great white throne judgment. You want to be a part of the first resurrection at the judgment seat of Christ. But Jesus says here, no man, so it doesn't matter who we are, how we are, when we are, no man can come to me, to Jesus Christ, except the Father which sent Jesus, sent me, draw him. Makes sense, right? Because none of us seek after God. So he has to draw us. If God doesn't draw us to him, who will be going our own way. None that seeketh after God. It has to be God that draws us. Now, what's the context? Let's go to verse 34. Back up with me a little bit here. Same chapter. Let's go to verse 34. Now, this is, it kind of sets the groundwork here. Verse 34, same chapter 6. It says here, then said they unto him. So the, you know, people are talking to the Lord. Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus had just kind of shared with them. Very similar like he did with the woman at the well. You know, he told the woman at the well in chapter 4, if you drink from this water, you'll thirst again. And she's like, all right, I'll drink this living water. Can I have some? Then he had to reveal that he's the Savior, that she's a sinner. And so here Jesus had just said, don't labor for the meat that perisheth. If you eat this meal, you're going to be hungry again. That's why you're here like you're here from yesterday. And so he tells them about this meat that gives everlasting life, you know, that fills you forever. And so they say, okay, give us this bread. Now, Jesus says in verse 35, and he's telling them how to receive this. Verse 35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. All right. But then he continues. And so, in fact, Jesus expounds, how do we come to Jesus so that we would never hunger? Now, this is spiritually speaking, because even the best Christians get hungry. I'm hungry now. Okay, but what I'm saying is, this is spiritually speaking. So how do we come to Jesus? And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. So we come to Jesus, we quote-unquote eat of this bread that he's giving to us, partake of the bread of heaven. That's Jesus Christ himself. He is the bread of life by believing. Okay, so we come to Jesus by believing. And so that's verse 35. If you go down to verse 41 with me, just to save time, verse 41, the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Now this offended them. When Jesus said he is the bread from heaven that came down, they understood exactly what Jesus is meaning. Okay, there wasn't any misinterpretation here. They didn't mistake what Jesus was saying. Jesus was saying he is the Son of God. Jesus is saying he's God the Son. He's saying he's the Messiah. He's the Lord. He's saying he's God that came down from heaven to save all of you. Okay, this is what Jesus is saying. Why were they offended? Because verse 42, it says, and they said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph? Like, wait a minute, he can be the son of God. He is the son of Joseph. Back in town, I know him. Okay, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know. How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? And so they were taken back by this truth. They were offended, they were shocked, and they're like, what? How can you say you're God? You grew up in Nazareth. You're not God. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. Now here's where the rubber meets the road. If it were not for verse 44, Jesus says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. If it were not for God drawing us to him, neither would we believe such a claim as Jesus did. We would reject it all the same. Okay? Because again, I think I shared this before. If we were just, you know, walking down the street and you meet someone and he says that he's God, all of us are like, yeah, right. No, you're not. I mean, the idea is such a out there claim that none of us would receive it. Okay, none of us would believe it. God has to draw us. Now, what's amazing is here. In fact, let's go to verse 65, same chapter. In fact, Jesus expounds on it kind of again here because they go back and forth, and then he recaps it again with the same truth. And so, chapter 6, verse 65, he says kind of the same thing here. Says, and he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Given meaning the capacity to come to Jesus, the RSVP to get saved, it has to come from God, because if it were not for God's drawing, no one would seek after God. No one does seek after God. No one would come to God if it were not for the drawing of God through the Holy Spirit. Now, point number two that goes hand in hand with this, who does God draw? Well, let's go to chapter 12. Chapter 12 of John. This is huge, because Jesus himself explains to us, we can't come to God unless God draws us. But who does God draw then? Well, let's go to chapter 12 and then verse 23. Chapter 12, verse 23. The Word of God says, and Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. In fact, this is towards 3 years into his ministry. He's kind of wrapping up his ministry. He knows that he's going to get arrested and then go to the cross. And so the hour is, it's coming. Remember other times before when Jesus was, you know, going to get arrested, but he wasn't because his hour wasn't yet. Now it's lining up. Okay, it's going to be time. And then so he gives the example of a corn, the seed dying. That's him. Okay. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So he's saying himself, Jesus has to die, and this is why he came. This is for the salvation of mankind. And so verse 25, he that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. And we've heard this before. Again, if you come to Jesus, it's all in Him. It's not about us. It's trusting in Him, not ourselves. We reject ourselves. We abhor ourselves, you know, but we trust in Jesus as the Lord and Savior. And especially during the Bible times and even today in some anti-Christian nations, when you get saved and become a Christian, you are signing up to be a martyr. I mean, you're willing to die for what you believe in. And so this has a very literal application here when Jesus said it. Verse 26, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. In fact, this is kind of mirrors what Jesus later on would pray in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? If at all possible, let the cup pass from him. Jesus did not want to become sin, did not want to be forsaken of his Father. The torture on the cross and the scourging before. But for this cause came I unto this hour. He knows this is why he's here. This is his mission, and he's going to fulfill it. Father, this is the Lord Jesus Christ, his heart's desire. Glorify thy name. Now look at verse 20. This is pretty amazing. Verse 28. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Jesus is asking the Father, verse 28, Father, glorify thy name. And then came there a voice from heaven. Any guesses who's speaking? God the Father, right? God the Father. No mistaking there. In fact, at the start of Jesus' ministry, when he got baptized by John the Baptist at the River Jordan, God the Father said from heaven, this is my beloved Son, meaning Son of God, meaning God the Son, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. God attests to that, witness to that. This is my beloved Son, God spoke from heaven, in whom I am well pleased. And here at the close of Jesus' ministry, fast forward 3 years later, God the Father says the same thing. He says, a voice from heaven says, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Look at verse 29. However, there's always going to be two ways that you can, you know, respond to God. You can receive it, or you can dismiss it or reject it. So verse 29, and the people therefore that stood by and heard it, they heard verse 28, said that it thundered. Some said, oh, that was just some rumbling, just some thundering. Others said, an angel spake to him. Now, of course, it's not angel, it's God the Father, but the idea is at least the others understood it was a divine words that was spoken from heaven. Verse 30, Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes, so that everyone knows that he is the Son of God. And then verse 31, now is the judgment of this world, meaning, because now Jesus is going to go to the cross, is coming to full circle, his ministry. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Again, with Jesus' crucifixion and his resurrection, he defeated hell, death, sin, and Satan, okay? Because of what Jesus is going to do. And verse 32, and if I be lifted up from the earth, Jesus says, will draw all men unto me. No man can seek God. No man seeks God. No man can even come to God unless God that sent Jesus draws him. And Jesus says, even though men will crucify Jesus out of hatred, yet out of love, he will draw all to him, even the most, all of us. We're all sinners. None righteous. No, not one. All sin and come short of the glory of God. Jesus will draw all men to him. Now, don't reject that drawing. Sadly, so many do. We cannot get saved unless God draws us. God draws everyone. He says he would draw all men to him. When people reject this drawing, in other words, God, if God didn't give us the RSVP to go to heaven, no one can go to heaven. He gives us the RSVP by his grace. We receive the RSVP by faith. God gets all the glory. It wasn't my idea, it was his idea to redeem us. Now, when people reject this universal drawing, this drawing is a universal invitation to go to heaven, to get saved. When people reject it, the Holy Spirit reproves them of this sin. Okay, so let's go to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. All this because at the end of the day, the most important thing we can say to God is yes. submit. It's His plan. It's His will. Just say yes. He'll take it from there. Okay, but and the same for saving, getting saved, but also serving. Okay, it doesn't change. So John chapter 16, let's go to verse 8. John chapter 16, let's go to verse 8. Now Jesus is speaking about the Holy Spirit of God. And He says, and when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin. That is a beautiful word, reprove. Not just rebuke. You know, rebuke could be to expose and to scold and reprimand, okay, and punished, okay? Not just rebuke, but reprove. And we'll get to that in a bit here. The world of sin, the Holy Spirit will do that, and of righteousness and of judgment. In fact, we're going to see verse 9, 10, 11 go hand in hand with what we just read in chapter 12. Of sin, this particular sin, because they believe not on me. And so when someone rejects the drawing of God, which Jesus will draw all men unto Him, when someone rejects the RSVP, kind of like you and I, we get a, I don't know, you get a mailer in the mail, and it's just some kind of marketing promo. Oftentimes, like, okay, yeah, right. Sometimes I get this key that's mailed to me from a dealership, and like, oh, maybe I put it in an ignition and turn it. If it starts, I win the car. It's just a marketing scam, okay? They just want your business. But the idea is, you know, we get these RSVPs, junk mail. We just tear them up, toss them. Too many, and sadly so many, reject God's drawing to them, the calling to come to Him to get saved. The RSVP, they just tear it up. They don't want it. When they reject the drawing of God, the conviction of the Holy Spirit to turn to Jesus Christ, that is a sin because they don't believe in Jesus. That's what they're committing in verse 9. And the Holy Spirit of God will reprove them. Now, the word reprove is not just rebuke, which is to expose and to correct, okay? The word reprove is also to convince. To convince, meaning they know they're wrong. They choose to reject Jesus Christ, but they know that they're wrong. He reproves them of their sin of not believing in Jesus. In other words, they know they should believe. They choose to not believe. Okay, that's to reprove. The idea is sometimes we can do things that are wrong, but I might really not believe that I'm in the wrong, right? It made national news that gentleman that kind of shot that UnitedHealth CEO in the back. You know, he might think that he's entitled to do that. He might think he's doing some kind of a great justice by shooting him because he's a bad guy in his mind, but he's wrong. Okay, I'm just saying you can do things and disagree with the law and say, yeah, the law is going to punish me, the law is going to rebuke me, but I'm not reproved of it. I still think I'm in the right. When someone rejects Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God reproves them. And they know they should believe. They know, but they don't. Now, of course, the more they reject Him, you know, then their conscience gets seared, and then later on it doesn't bother them. Okay, but the idea is this. The Holy Spirit of God is a work of God. Reproves them of their sin because they believe not on Jesus. Verse 10, He also reproves them of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. They know that, you know, Jesus says He is the only way to heaven. He's the only way that we can get saved. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. That's what Jesus said in chapter 12. When He dies for our sins, when He rises from the dead, conquering death, He will defeat Satan, defeat sin, defeat death. It's all in Jesus Christ. The verses in John are not teaching. They are not teaching that God draws some, but not others. But it is telling us that salvation is so divine, so above us, that no one can receive it unless God Himself reveals it to us and draws us. But He draws everyone. It is a universal invitation. Without this drawing, no one can get saved. Remember, God gets the glory for everything, even when we get saved. If you're saved, my friend, you have no one to thank but God. But if you're lost, you have no one to blame but yourself. Because when God draws, it's a universal drawing. Don't reject that drawing. Turn to God. When it comes to our salvation, God purposed it in eternity past. Ephesians 1 tells us that. God executed it by sending Jesus. He did it. God proved it by Jesus' miracles and by His resurrection. Amen. And God sealed it with His Holy Spirit. God did everything. The only thing that we need to do to receive it is say yes, meaning agree with it, believe in our heart. Because God tells us to believe. God commands us to get saved. He commends His love to us, but He also commands us that all of us to repent and trust Jesus. Yes, believe. Saying yes to God is how we get saved. But guess what, my friends? It's also how we serve Him. After we get saved, the same Holy Spirit continues to lead us, continues to guide us. Let's go, still stay in John chapter 10. Let's go to John chapter 10. We become one of his sheep. He's our shepherd. Let's go to John chapter 10. Let's go to verse 1. Now that we're saved, what do I have to do to please God? Well, don't overthink it. Let's go to verse 1. It says here, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber." Jesus is speaking about the false prophets, false teachers. "But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep himself. To him the potter openeth," that's the doorman, "and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name," it's because he knows us, we are the sheep, he's the shepherd, he calls us by name, "and leadeth them out." That's wonderful. God leads us by his voice, right? Verse 4, "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his" what? "His voice." His voice are his words. His words is the scripture. It's our Bible. This is how God leads us. His voice is by his words, the scriptures. When we read it, or when we remember it, okay, or when we hear it, okay, but his voice is here. It's not the voice in my head, okay? That's just me, okay, my flesh, okay? Maybe my conscience that convicts me to his word, but my conscience can be wrong. It can be seared, okay? But God's voice is his word right here in the scriptures. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John, so towards the end of the Bible, so from John to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2 kind of speaks about it in the same way, but with a little emphasis here. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Let's go to verse 3. 1 John chapter 2. And then verse 3. Now that we are his sheep, right? We're following his voice. Verse 3. "And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his" what? "Commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Talk is cheap. Actions speak louder than words. God calls us by name. If we're saved, he knows us. He leads us out. And we follow his voice, meaning his words, meaning his commandments. "But whoso keepeth his word," that's the shepherd's voice, "in him verily is the love of God perfected." This is what God intends. "Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." Now this is huge. Scripture says, if we keep his what? "Commandments." Now commandments, don't have to overthink it. Okay, I'm not trying to be a smart aleck here, but the idea of a commandment is an order that's given. It's an order that's given. All I need to do is say what? Yes. All I have to do is say yes. If I focus on keeping God's commandments, if I focus on saying yes to God, my life will be so full. It'll be so fulfilled. But I'll also be so full. we won't have time to get into trouble. All I'm saying is sometimes it's you know, I can think in my mind, "Oh Lord, what shall I do to please you? Maybe I can go here, I can start this project," and hang on, time out, friends. Don't overthink it. You want to please God, it starts and ends with saying yes. Because he has told us all that he wants to do right here. Just say yes to it. Husbands, love your wives. Okay, I'll work on that. And then, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Okay, I'll work on that. By the way, pray without ceasing. Oh yes, yes Lord, I'll work on that. Let your light so shine before men. Okay, I'll do that. Preach the gospel to every creature. If we say yes to what God has already told us, that's all we need to worry about. God has given us a great many things to do, to follow him, to listen to his voice. I don't need to make my own plans to please God. Remember, I get in trouble when I do that. Because then I'm certain that can be my flesh thinking. It can be my own wants talking. If no one comes to God or even seeks after God, how we got saved is how we serve. God had to draw me. I just had to say yes. Remember, I don't have to make any deal, any reinterpret anything or renegotiate my salvation. Just say yes to God. And once I get saved by His grace, by faith in Jesus Christ, we serve God by how? Saying yes. Now, you can read His word. This is the voice right here. But all I have to worry about is saying yes. God is not asking for me to, just like a general to his soldier. I'm just an infantry, the trooper. I don't come up with the war plans. General does that. I just say, yes, sir. Okay. God is not saying, hey, Wayne, why don't you write an essay for me about how you want to serve? No, he really told me how to do it. I just need to say yes. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians just to kind of emphasize the point. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Just one example here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Perhaps you can guess where I'm going. Let's go to verse 16. Now, the whole chapter is wonderful. Amen. Praise God. But verse 16, we'll start there for now. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Yes, God. Pray without ceasing. Yes, God. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Yes, God. Quench not the spirit. Yes, God. Despise not prophesying. Don't look down on preaching. Yes, God. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Yes, God. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Yes, God. You do all these things, we'll be plenty busy. We'll be plenty blessed, and we'll be fulfilled. Our life will be full and fulfilled. But then we don't have to wonder like, oh, my life is such a void. What do I do to please God? By the way, look at the biblical examples that have gone before us. Pretty much everyone who's in the Bible, all the heroes of the faith. You think of, kind of a short list. Samuel, Paul, Abraham, Noah, Moses, Mary, the 12 disciples. What made these heroes of the faith was not their own plans to serve God. They just said what to God? Yes. God had a plan. Noah built the ark. He's like, okay. It wasn't Noah's idea. It was God's idea. Mary. Hail thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. And then the angel tells Mary she's going to usher in the Messiah to give birth to him. That is amazing. And she says what? Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. She's speaking about herself. Be it unto me according to thy word. Saying yes. I mean, that's what she says. She's saying yes, but she's saying, here I am. And when you think of all the heroes of the faith, all they did was say yes to God. When it comes to serving God and pleasing our Father, our God, don't overthink it, friends. Just say yes to God. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to wrap it up here. Philippians chapter 2. I mentioned this during Sunday school, but these are such good verses. I want to make sure that it hits home. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Let's go to verse 12 with me. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, that's a call to obedience, is what verse 12 is. To obey means that the commandment has already been given. The instructions have already been doled out. All I have to do is say yes. For it is God which worketh in you. God wants to use us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Even that desire to do God's will comes from God. Boy, we can't take any credit. Rightfully so. All glory goes to God. You get that conviction. You get that desire to please God. You get that conviction to turn away from sin. You get that desire to serve God here and say, yes, that comes from God. He's drawing us. He's drawing us. He's drawing us. Don't reject it. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, these are Christians, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works. I don't come up with those good works. I just say yes to God. The most important thing, friends, that you and I can ever say to God is yes. Because he's sovereign and he's done everything. He's done all the planning. He's done all the orchestrating. He's done everything that he's done. He's done it all. The only thing that I need to do to make it effectual in my life, the only way to receive that is to, by faith, say yes. to obey. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, what a reminder, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for just the simplicity, Lord, to serve. That I don't have to think of, you know, the everything, Lord, from the tabernacle dimensions to the ark dimensions, Lord, to all everything, the instructions you've always given to your people, all you desired and required was for them to say yes. So, Father, we love you. We thank you, Father, for your mercy and goodness to us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that He indwells us. He convicts us. He reproves us. He rebukes us. Lord, help us to always say yes to you. Help me, Lord, not to get caught up in my own scheme, my own plans. That's when I get in trouble. Help me to just say yes to you. Yes, this, yes, that, yes for all of it. So, Father, we love you. Help me to always have to be a yes man to you out of faith and obedience. We ask it in Jesus' name. Every head bowed and every eye closed.